Hey everybody, it's Tom here. I just wanted to give you a little heads up that this is episode 196 of Stand By Your Band, and you know what that means. We're four episodes away, just about a month away, from episode 200. 200 episodes. We're going to have to take a long, hard look in the mirror at all the life we've wasted making the show. But in the meantime, we've set a little goal for ourselves, which is that we'd love to get to 200 Patreon subscribers by that 200th episode, which is April 14th. And the Patreon is patreon.com/standbyyourband. We do bonus episodes every stinking week for $3 a month. That's all it is. And if we get to 200, we're going to do another Battle of the Bands on the Patreon, which was very fun, as you guys heard last week. And if you're not already on the Patreon, get over there. But if you already are, if you can prove to us that you got somebody else on the Patreon, we will dedicate 30 seconds of the Patreon to singing your little praises. And or if you have something specific you want us to say, like a, I guess it's like a cameo, but whatever. If not, we'll just come up with something. It'll be very fun. But April 14th, $3 a month. That's it. And there's another tier where you can be a guest on the Patreon for a little more cash. So get on over there. We appreciate it big time. And enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Dekar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
I'm doing well. You know, for the first time in what feels like months, I actually have something that happened to me that I can share.
Yeah.
it's been a boring life, but but last night, so Tom and I were playing video games till about, I would say, 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And went to bed after that. And then at 3 a.m., my girlfriend woke me up and she was like, we need to go to the hospital now. And which was crazy. She like broken out in hives. So I'm like a zombie just driving, like running red lights at 3 a.m.
Oh my God.
Brooklyn. It was crazy. It was a wild time. We get to the hospital. We end up being there. She had to like get an IV and do all this stuff. She's fine now. But
yeah,
we end up being there for like 5 hours, essentially.
Oh,
I left for like
God.
1 hour of that. But so I am like totally running on fumes. And I was doing a lot of G11 special sauce research in the waiting room of the emergency room in Bushwick. So that is
that's a great right setup now. For a weird thing to be listening to in an emergency department too, where everything around you just hearing beeps and all this shit, and you're just grooving out to the chillest shit of all time.
It was so funny,
like, sir.
Too,
can you leave? Can you do that in your could you do that in your car?
Like, do you have headphones? I'm like, oh yeah, this is for you guys. I'm trying to help the vibe.
I thought I would I would change the vibe. I do have to ask, when she came to you at 3 a.m. were you at all concerned that she may be lonely? did that enter your mind?
Yes.
Okay.
Common affliction at 3 a.m.
Yes. But no, we're happy that
I just got it. I just got it. I'm sorry.
No. Let's introduce our guest, by the way. You heard him already from the band Landlady. Adam Schatz is here.
Hi.
How you doing, my man?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks for having me. I was just thinking about if the reverse happened, and if you brought your girlfriend into an emergency room and it was serious. It was like someone needs to operate, and the surgeon comes out and he's like, oh, perfect. Like, bring her in here. And he says, hold on, just give me 1 second. He takes his headphones off and you hear G-Love and special sauce like blasting out of it.
Yeah.
Would you go to a different hospital?
Yes, then we go to Manhattan, because exactly, the Brooklyn one is not gonna work. Yeah.
That feels like it could happen in like the Portland like hospitals or something, where it's like, you know how at the airport, and like, I want to say, I know in Nashville they do it, but like Portland or like San Francisco, there's always like a guy playing guitar and it's like very chill airport vibe. It'd be fun if that transferred to the hospitals too, and you're like, this isn't the place.
The Nashville one is sad. It actually only makes me sad when I walk by it.
I told this story before on the show, maybe twice now, but I'll make it quick. Last time I was at the Nashville airport, I stopped in this little bar that had barbecue, and there was a musician playing, and he was playing a cover of, it was Imagine Dragons.
It was Radioactive, right?
Yeah, it was Radioactive by Imagine Dragons. And when he got done, all these people were like, "What was that? I love that." it really bummed me out. And I was like, man, this, everybody's trying way too hard in this airport. But that, I get it. Like, every airport's trying to do, it is kind of fun when you go to an airport that's trying to be a fraction of what the town is. Like, you go to the Vegas.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
The airport's an airport. It's not a town. Stop trying to make it. It's like the Nashville, even the Nashville one. It's like, I think it's the same as one of the bars on Broadway. They like have a cool, airport outpost. It's like, that's not cool. That's a bummer. I get sad enough thinking about the person who like goes to work at the restaurant in the airport.
Yes.
Like the person who goes to work at the airport and then goes home without leaving on a plane.
Right.
That's, I guess it would be better. You could probably align the whole airport restaurant infrastructure where it's like your first day you're working at the Wolfgang Puck in O'Hare. And then the next day you're at like Chili's too in Miami. And then you're gone for a month.
That is kind of fun. You just live a different life every month. I like that. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You're like a flight attendant. Thank you.
Yeah. It's like the terminal.
And then you sleep with a stranger who ends up dead next to you. Mm-hmm. And then you have to escape from China or whatever.
That happened to my buddy HBO Max.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was crazy. So, Adam, Max, were you...
that guy's crazy.
Were you touring when everything shut down? You know, I know that's a standard question to ask a musician, but yeah.
I haven't had anyone ask me a question in almost a year.
Oh, this is going to be very exciting for you then.
Yeah, exactly. Other than, could you please move that way? Could you please leave me alone? I was on tour. I was on tour playing in another band. I was on tour with the band Y Oak.
I like Y Oak. I didn't know you played
with
them.
Me too.
Crazy. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah, I did. There was a stretch when I was like, I don't know. I moved to New York for college and then like joined a bunch of bands because I just loved playing in bands. And so then for a long while, I was playing in a lot of other people's bands. And then that started driving me crazy. So I stopped. And then I played in the band Man Man for like three years at the, when I was too old to go see the band Man Man. Then I was like, I should probably join my favorite band. And so that was like 2012 to 2015. And that was that was my first like touring grind. And then that was when Landlady started touring a lot too. And it was this thing where I would like tour to California back and then immediately do it again with another band. And I was like, wow. This also isn't very sustainable. So I stopped playing with other people. And then like it just started happening again where like two Novembers. I mean, time is done as far as I'm concerned, but two Novembers ago, my buds in the group Sylvan Esso did a tour with like a big band. They're normally an electronic duo, just Nick and Amelia. And then they wanted to do something fun where they made way less money. And so they had a bunch of their friends come together and we were a 10-piece band and I played sax and bass clarinet with them. And it was a joy. I mean, also it's like my first time playing in venues where you're respected when you walk in the door and having like, we toured with like a crew where they built, they'd like set up my stuff. And I was like that, the first time you feel bad about it. And then after that you become drunk with power. And then from that in that band was Jen from Y Oak, the singer in Y Oak. And she asked me to do a tour with them just a few months later. And so that was crazy, learning like 40 songs in a 4-month period from two different groups. And then it was even dumber when the tour got canceled in the middle. And we only got to play 5 shows. But we got to play 5 shows and they were really good shows. And some of them were at venues that aren't even around anymore. So I'm glad I got to like do it up until the last moment that you could do it. Cause
yeah,
there are other years where I don't play that many shows and I would have felt really insane.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I felt, where I was like, this was the first year in so long where I had a writing job. And so I wasn't touring, and April was going to be, I was done with my job and I was going to be coming back to New York, and I was going to kind of tour my way back a little bit. And I had all this shit set up, and then I was like, I'm finally getting back. And then all of it. And I remember, man, it feels stupid to dwell too much on this, because it's like, it's been a year now, but I remember having shows booked for like April 6th and being like, well, it's only 2 weeks, so by then, like, it was like March 16th or something. I was like, I think we'll be done by then, so we'll be able to get back out there.
And no, then, I was gonna fly. We had, like, because our West Coast date started in Seattle, and I had booked, I was gonna fly to Portland early to do like some solo shows, and then I was gonna stay in LA after. And I was like, that'll be so fun. And then the dates got the tour got canceled. But like, I'm in charge of my own thing, and I was like, all right, well, maybe I'll still go out. And then it was that thing where like every day there was like, the dread was like so exponential in a way I've never experienced before. We're like, mm-hmm. truly one day to the next, I'm like, that's a good idea. And the next day, I'm like, that person who thought that yesterday was the stupidest person I've ever met. There's like, not only are you not going there, you're not going anywhere, and we don't know when you're going anywhere again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also had bought a scratch ticket on the first leg of the tour. It was weird having a tour canceled in the middle, because we also like left each other in Richmond, and we're all like, see you in Seattle. And then 2 weeks later, we're like, see you never. But I had also bought a scratch ticket. And when you buy a scratch ticket on tour, there's always some people in the van who are like, you idiot.
Yeah.
And then you like get to do the thing where you slowly, and I do the crossword puzzle one, so it like really takes time. And at that point, I'm making money because of just, you know, of the joy. And then I won $20, and I felt so good. And I still haven't cashed it. And I think the 12-month window is about to
brutal.
You can only exchange it in Richmond, and that's the biggest tragedy of this whole pandemic.
A lot of people are saying that. Yeah. Yeah,
that is so funny how much, like, I've done the same thing where you're just on a road trip and you buy them in every town you go, or like every state, and then you're like, well, on the way back I'll be able to, and then you just I've forgotten so many of those just from, you know, nights of drinking. And then you're like, why do I have this in my wallet? Oh shit, I just lost $12.
Yeah,
but pretty crazy stuff. I want to talk to you. So you obviously came to us bearing G Love and special sauce.
The old frankincense. Yes. Special sauce, yes.
Yeah.
You also did pitch Bare Naked Ladies, which I really appreciate that you did. And of course, they're, I think, the only band we've already talked about twice in different capacities. Although I would argue, I mean, both times it was under weird circumstances, because the first one, Tommy wasn't on it. And the second one, it was our friend Jonas who didn't want to defend them. So
sure, yeah.
Have we done another one, Tommy?
They were in a live show also.
That's true.
Yeah.
Live show. So they've been covered here and there, but always in kind of a weird capacity. So I think someday we could do another one of those, and we'll have to bring you back to do it. But we wanted to.
You got to. Yeah.
Because I really do. I love them. And I feel like Zach Swan and Dewey Lovett did a great job. Jonas did a horrible job of defending them and ended up saying that he didn't like them by the end of the show.
Yes.
So it was a bad thing. But yeah, what are, if you had a brief synopsis on your feelings of Bare Naked Ladies, I'd love to hear.
I mean, they're so good. They're like, and this is the thing about, like, I feel like I'm the age that is kind of the sweet spot for a lot of the bands y'all have done, where it's like, I was born in 87. So like me the too. Radio. Yeah. And I rightfully believe that like the radio was the best throughout my entire life in terms of almost every type of radio, in terms of pop radio, in terms of rock radio, in terms of rap radio. It's like when you could, rap radio is getting good again, just in terms of how weird everyone is. But the fact that you could hear Outkast on the radio was the greatest thing in the whole world. Like you could actually change. Your life could be changed. And I loved, Bare Naked Ladies had so many hits.
Yeah.
I feel like the first song I heard of theirs was If I Had $1 Million, which I also thought was so funny. I was like, oh, this is like, this is good and funny. This is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
But not a real green dress. That's cruel. Really? Exactly. I still think it's a funny line. I think it's good.
I think half that song I probably went over my head at the time and I'd have to re-listen to it. But I was also, I went to Newbury Comics to buy it. I was like, I know the one song I like, so I'm 12, so that means I'm going to buy the CD with the one song I like and only listen to that song. Yeah. I'm not even going to like, and that's,
I remember doing that. That's so of course, I did that with so many albums where I was like, great, now I have it. And I would only listen to that song and then switch CDs.
Sometimes the album's bad. Did with Marcy's Playground, did with Spin Doctors. Mm-hmm. That was my first one. And you've done all these bad. I mean, I was going through your whole list. I was like, that did it. Because once you get those bands out of the way, it's like your whole premise is defending music other people think is bad. And I'm like, well, I have good taste. Exactly. All the bands I like are good. But they, I found the CD and I got home and I put it on and it was like truly the greatest injustice that could have ever happened to me at that time, which was it was a live album. And I was like, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? And at that moment, I was like, this has no value. I might as well. Like, it's not the version of the song I want. I don't even understand what the point of a live album is at that.
Yeah. You know, and then that's one of my favorite live albums of all time.
It's really good.
It's so fun and good. And I like the performances on that a lot more than the album tracks for a lot of those songs. I think the performance of Jane on it is great. I had the same feeling because I borrowed that album from my sister because she had it and I didn't realize it was a live album also. And I hated live albums. I was like, I have no interest. I want to hear the most overproduced thing I can hear right now. And I'll have a good time. But that's like maybe the first live album that I was like, this is actually way more fun. And I'm so happy that that's what this is.
Totally. It also, And then just recently I just moved and was painting our walls, which I've never done before because I've only lived in apartments before now. And it's like in New York in an apartment. It's like, why would you ever, this whole thing could blow up tomorrow. There's no point in painting anything. And it, we've been listening to the radio because there's one radio station that comes in near us and the Bare Naked Ladies song, The Old Apartment, came on, which is, I think, my favorite song of theirs that is like still just a great song. And it was such a funny, it's just a song about apartment and about painting the walls. And it actually like moved me to listen to it as we were doing the thing. And it's like, hey, what is not to like? They're Canadian. That's nice. You know,
yeah, it's fun. Yeah, as a kid finding out they were Canadian, I was like, "Ooh, I have exotic tastes in music."
I got this in the world music section. I pulled that out. But the end of the, we can kind of wrap it up in a way that's super special to me, which is I was on tour with my band Landlady. We were opening for Ockerville River. And I don't know how it came up, but Will from Ockerville and I were hanging out. And at some point he learned, either I knew that he knew one of the Bare Naked Ladies and I was like, what? Or we just like, at some point, unprompted, I told him that I still think they're a very good band. And he was like, oh, I know one of them. Like I know Stephen Page, who is one of the like co-frontmen.
Yeah.
And he lives in Chicago. And so we played in Chicago.
Oh, I didn't know he lived in Chicago. Nice.
Yeah, I think still. Who knows where anyone lives anymore. But we met really briefly. He was super nice. And then like years later, I was making this thing, this musical radio play weird thing. And I was like trying to think of people to ask to do it. And I wrote to Stephen kind of out of the blue asking him if he'd play this part of being a dad. And he like was super down and recorded all of his own lines for it. It was so funny. And then we just stayed in touch. And then our new album like is just coming out this Friday, but we did a Bandcamp presale thing and he bought our album. Wow. And to like little, it's the best to like go back in time. I feel like most of your life going, if you like go back in time and talk to a little kid version of you, it's like you'll have good news, but you'll also have so much bad news.
Of course.
About the way the world ended up. It's like, okay, like, sure, yeah, these things are good, but a lot of what you hope is actually false. But that's you know, the fact that a bare naked lady is getting my record coming in the mail is such a sweet thing.
That's so cool. That's awesome. Love that. We were so close to it wouldn't have been on this show, but interviewing him for like this. So Stand Up New York had him in the building for whatever reason. They were like, please come. And the timing just didn't work out. But I was pissed because he's like one of my favorite guys. His voice in that band is so great. And his version of that band was what I loved the most. So I still just enjoy them, but I would love.
He has a good sense of humor. He has a good sense of humor, and I feel like you could even find a way to get him in this context. He has a good sense of humor about the band. He kind of he'll make a like it's been joke, like without being prompted to do it.
Yeah,
you know, he won't love it if you do it over and over again, I'd imagine. But it's but within the context of. He knows what the band was and what some people think and what other people think, and he might have a good time. Who knows?
Yeah. It's funny because so we're talking about G-Love and Special Sauce today, and we have the resident snob of our show, Jared, is Bare Naked Ladies is one of his least favorite bands of all time. It's one of the first things that me and him fought about when we became friends, but we have a segment to get to, which is where he gives his thoughts on the band. And he did have thoughts on G-Love and Special Sauce. And I have a feeling they are not. We went on a string of Jared being relatively positive, I feel like. And I got to say, I have a feeling that streak is coming to an end today. Just my bet. If I was a betting man, and I am.
You are.
8-game parlay tonight.
I know for a fact you're a betting man.
If I were a betting man, I'd put it all on the Bucks to win tonight. But here's some. Here are Jared Thompson's thoughts on G-Love and Special Sauce.
What's up, y'all? It's This Week's It Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending G-Love and Special Sauce. I honestly kind of had hoped that this day would never come. let me first say, Tom had texted me that the guest is from a band. I mean, not to say that a comedian can't also be in a band, but I feel like maybe I want to just preface this for the guest. I'm sorry, Adam Schatz. Since if you're not a comedian, then you probably have no idea even if you are a comedian, you may not know who I am. But if you're not a comedian, you definitely don't know who I am. So I apologize in advance for this. But I think that this is my least favorite kind of music in the history of music. I would rather listen to almost anything than just a white person that thinks that they have like funk in them. You just don't. And it's just a fact, and there's nothing you can do about it. Like, it's just not true. And honestly, like I just, it makes my skin crawl to even think about this type of stuff. And like, I don't know. I can't even, it's so bad. And it's so embarrassing. Like, I feel like I'm so embarrassed to hear it. Like, I feel like that the person like doesn't, it's like if they just showed up, they're like playing, you know, on a baseball team, and they're like, I'm going to just play naked. Like, that's normal. Like, they're just out there on the field, and everyone's like, what the fuck is that person doing? And he's just like, this is what you're supposed to do. Like, it isn't what you're supposed to do. And it reminds me, actually, Tom just retweeted of this video about this girl who just is, I guess, obsessed with toilet water. And you just have to watch it. But that's how I feel. Watching her in that video is how I feel listening to G-Love and Special Sauce. It is just the most embarrassing, white, horrible. I mean, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to find out that G-Love, which is something I should never have to say, is not white. And then I'm going to feel stupid. But no, this is absolutely not. No way. No. Thank you.
All right. I think I'm owed some money, but
you hit it big. Yeah.
I feel bad here, Adam, because
Does he think it's my band? No. Think it's my dad? I don't, it's not. It's not. No, that's, I mean, honestly, that actually sounded pretty neutral to me. It's also going, it even, and there's the thing where because I told you I had to kind of dig deep to think of a group that would make sense, because I was thinking of all the obvious ones and they've been done already because they're obvious. But there's this was one that I was certainly listening to at the same time as all this other stuff, and I think I even like can pigeonhole it even further into the category of like summer camp, which is a really specific time when like people who you think are cool will like give you a CD. And then, and often it is real. I mean, I feel like I discovered a lot of, cause it's also people from other places. So it's like, you actually like, I grew up in New England, but you like meet someone from Philadelphia or from California, and that's really exotic, and they come with their own things, and you're a kid, so you're totally like non-discerning. So I can like be super psyched about like being shown Queen, and then the like Bob Dylan album Desire, which is like such a weird first Bob Dylan album to be excited about. There's only like four songs and one of them's Hurricane and it's 90 minutes long. But it like, but those, I truly at camp, I was shown like Queen's Greatest Hits and Desire at the same time. And I was like, these are equally good and they'll like change my life. They'll change my life forever. And I feel like the same exact thing was happening with like, I was like being shown like G-Love and Special Sauce at the same time as The Roots, at the same time as like Peanut Butter Wolf, like a really different type of hip hop. That's like also really fucking cool. But it's that thing. It's so cemented to my childhood and I really hadn't listened to it for a long time. So no matter what, you know, I don't blame your poor friend at all. And I feel bad for, I feel bad for how bad he feels about so many things. He should try and feel a little bit better, which is what's so ironic is it sounds like your friend, his name's Jared.
Yes.
It sounds like Jared has the blues. And I feel like there's, it seems he's actually has more in common than he'd like to admit with G-Love and Special Sauce.
I knew as soon as I started listening to the music, I knew that he would go that a white man blues is not good. But
yeah. And he's right. And it's all I like. And I do. It's this thing where it's like, it isn't like I grew up listening to it, so I have no way of knowing what I would think now if you played it for me. If you gave me a CD and you were like, this is my friend, he's alive now, and he sounds like this, and I'm 33 and I listen to it, I'd be like, this is like, just shut it off immediately. But I think I was surprised how in like revisiting the stuff I loved then, I was surprised that I actually still really enjoy it, which is not true about everything you grow up listening to. Like I'm not gonna listen to Saves the Day anymore and be like really excited about it. And something, it's good, I don't know, a lot of music is like for kids, it's like I can't
Cool was one of those albums that someone gave to me and literally was like, this changed my life. at the time that I heard it.
Of course. Well, that's, yeah, it actually baffles me. I was just talking about someone this recently about, I was like, well, I really seem to constantly bet on the wrong horse, and to put it in terms you can understand, Tom, since you seem to have some sort of crippling gambling addiction.
What are the odds here? What do we got?
We'll make light of it. We'll make light of it. Sure.
I need help.
But like for whatever reason, like emo has persevered in a way that I could have never predicted as someone who did listen to it for a period of time as a kid, but as a kid who was like never one type of kid. So I could like listen to Brand New, but play in a ska band, and also like listen to Ben Folds 5 and all these things, and like Radiohead and whatever it is kids like. But then like I grew up. And so of course that like emo is going to do nothing for me now. And then you see both. It makes sense that as like stylistically will persevere because children get born every day. Right. What I think has also happened is a lot of people who grew up emo fans have now become music critics. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the many reasons that I'm being kept down by the industry. But I put on these songs and they like still make me feel feelings. I think they're like super silly, which they were at the time, but there's also like a production value thing too, which happens with music that's sort of time stamped. You know, if you listen to I'm going to talk about ska, even though I'm not here to talk about ska.
Hey, but when talk I was, about ska.
Let's wait, this is a safe space. But when I was, when I was in high school, I joined a ska band because I played in the concert band. Like, I just played saxophone, and the older kids were like, you should do this, which is the opposite of what we're doing here. And we, you know, a friend showed me this band, Catch 22, and I thought they were great. And they had a record called Keys Be Nights, which I thought was great. And I listened to it a few years ago, and I was like, I think this is the worst recorded piece of music I've ever heard. It's like, it probably sold like 500,000 copies, and whatever, it's punk, who cares? But I, like, as someone who understands how recordings get made now, I'm just like, this is like sonically harmful the way this was. The way this was made.
Harmful.
Yeah.
That's a good album name.
Sure. But even as like a music snob, I like listen to the early G Love records. I'm like, I don't know, this sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. So I'm coming at this from, I think, a weird angle. And I don't know how you feel about this timing. G Love and Special Sauce is one of those bands that would come through my hometown. And I would have friends who were a little older than me who were like, we got to go see G Love. And I never knew what it meant. It was like my coworkers and stuff would say stuff like that. And I was like, it just felt like and we're the same age, but it felt like one of those things where it was like a little bit before, like it felt like people who were a couple of years older than me were like, we got to go. That's our time to jam out or whatever.
Sure. Sure.
And I felt like and it doesn't make sense because time-wise maybe, but the group of people I was around were like, it was almost like Dave Matthews Band was their version of this, where it's like, we're gonna go do a weekend and see Dave and jam out to a white guy who's doing this thing that is like groovy.
Who talks funny.
Yeah,
guy with a speech impediment and turn it into music.
But I just never heard any. I was listening today, and the one song I knew was this, I believe it's the second song off of that album. Let me see here. I have a whole thing. Babies. Sauce.
That's the hit. That's the big hit.
Which I want to go ahead and play some music. Do you have a preference on the order that we play? Do you want to go album by album?
Yeah, let's go. I think we go chronological because that's
I like it. I like that plan. So since I just mentioned it, it's on that first album, the self-titled G Love and Special Sauce. Let's go ahead and hear some of Baby's Got Sauce. Some of Baby's Got Sauce. I enjoyed that. I had a good time listening to it. It reminded me of like a song that would have been in like an early 2000s Sandler movie, you know, when he was, sure. It'd be like during a party scene. I enjoyed that.
Well, and it's, I don't know. I think the Adam Sandler comparison is apt because again, it's like you listen to him. And actually, on the next song, we'll hear it even more. But it's sort of, there's always a suspicious. Everyone has a little thing about authenticity, which I think is fair, and it's doubly fair when there's race involved. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. If nothing else, you listen to him sing, and you're like, "All right, does he fucking talk like this? Like, is this?" Which is affectation, in you know, to a degree, is fine. David Bowie could do whatever he wanted, and we let him do it. But it's like. And it is a funny thing. I looked up some earlier interviews and I'm like, I think he does. There's also this like little Philadelphia get out of jail free card because people talk so crazy.
Yeah. In Philadelphia. Yeah. True.
That said, he definitely went to private school. So it's like
he has the funniest white Wikipedia. This is the first line. Dutton, the son of a banking lawyer, was born in the Society Hill neighborhood of Philadelphia. It's like a perfect Hill. White person background. Yep. Yeah.
Tommy, I think we should start an offshoot show that's just about reading Wikipedias like that. We'll call it white don't tell me. It's gonna be like we're taking this person who's singing about being on the street, but he doesn't even there's that part of it which he. It's also like he was a kid when he made that first record and then it became popular and it's like, what am I going to do? Stop acting this way. This is the thing people are coming to see.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's interesting. The only other comparison I was thinking of that sort of made sense stylistically was Everlast. Cause I was like, you know, G-Love wasn't on the radio when I was a kid, but that one Everlast hit was, which was his like really bluesy song, which I think is like 10 times cornier than this.
Yeah.
And when you're a kid hearing that song on the radio, then like someone older has to tell you that that's the dude from House of Pain. And then it's even more confusing. Because again, it's like, what do you have the blues about? You're getting those every time there's a basketball game, you're getting royalties. Yeah.
That's just to make sure that's the guy who's like, what it's like.
What it's like. Yeah.
Which again, it's like another you know, rich lineage of white people singing songs with the word blues in the song, which is like,
and also like gatekeeping the blues. Like then you'll know what it's like. I know, of course, but you could know.
Right. What is interesting is he, you know, I didn't want to go into this knowing nothing about G-Love and Special Sauce, but he, you know, he's not bad. He can play the guitar. And like before he started doing his thing professionally, he was busking a lot in like the Boston area doing, you know, singing blues. And the first song on this first record is like an old blues standard by this dude, Guitar Slim. And it's like, I feel like he must have done that on purpose to be like, listen, like, you're like, plenty of people are going to think this is so stupid because I'm rapping or because I look the way I look or I'm talking the way I'm talking. But like, this is my like proof of entry that I've actually like studied this stuff pretty deeply. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean your friend Jared isn't right. He probably is. But so, I heard this as a kid and I like it still. What can I say?
And is that song blues music?
Yeah. Well, this one's the best. Cause this, yeah, again, it's like, it's almost as if you have Adam Sandler like singing a blues song with like that level of pure gibberish. And it's like, I'd love to hear like a very gifted orator like speak these lyrics because it's true. It's so awesome. It's pure nonsense, I think.
Let's check it out. This is blues music.
My band, we all must agree. We like to get groovy with the sounds of the old time. We like to jam, cause man, sound from the band, stand here from the cars, man, hang from the old ones, the tones, the gears, the props, and the vibe. Very much simple, chill the outside. Way back, way back. From where I was really started, I'm a child of the 80s, so where I departed. Since then, I started a collection of the people who started it all. I reckon, therefore, I got some in my side like mine. Blues music. Blues music.
Yeah, I hear the Sandler.
Exactly. It's also like this band is in a category of bands that definitely still like crushes it on the jam band circuit. That kind of like makes they're allowed to be in the same presence as that other stuff. But listen, that, I mean, most of that music I find to be like really a serious problem for mankind.
Yeah.
But there's like, even listening to that song, it's like, there's such a like patience to it. They're like, no one's shredding, no one's wanking. And when you see white people play blues, it's almost like a 24-hour wankathon. And this is like, it's again, there's like, even though it's cool, it's subtle, I have no complaints about that one.
I like the stand-up bass that he's got. I watched some live videos too. It sounds good. I like that guy, whoever he is.
Yeah. I know. I used to think Special Sauce was a guy, which is, would have been cool, but it's actually two guys.
It's,
I
two guess. Guys. That sucks. You know, I did. That fucking sucks. I also, that fucking pisses me off. That really fucking blows. I heard that any show Tommy goes to is a 24-hour wankathon. Now speak on that.
Oh Joe. My God. It's for charity.
That's, you know, no, you host it. You host the wankathon. Yeah.
It's my Jerry Lewis thing. Yeah.
You're like, please stop. And he's like, well, then send some money.
Yeah, call him.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing's going up. He's wanking on a tote bag. No. No.
Yeah, I definitely could see myself. This is definitely like one of those things where I'm sure the people I was working with, this was their thing where they would go get high and just groove out. I could see myself doing that, just relaxing, smoking a little J, having a beer, putting $2,000 on the Raptors, you know, just really chilling out.
Letting it ride. Just let it ride.
This is fun. We have a new a new go-to. That's good. I am a gambling addict.
Yeah. That's fun. That's nice.
All right. Let's hear. This is a song that somebody commented on. And this was like the one that, this is like an MTV hit, right? Like
which one are we talking?
Cold Beverage apparently was like getting a lot of play on MTV. It was a big part of their early success as like a young people coming up and being like, this is cool. And I get it, but let's hear some of Cold Beverage.
Yo.
Cold Beverages.
I mean, he's in on the joke.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, that's the whole song about drinks.
It's great. And it's like, you would think, seeing the title of that, I would assume it's just him talking about beer. And then it's like lemonade and iced tea and stuff. Just anything,
the root
cold.
Beer float.
Can't get much colder than that.
No way. At the beginning, sure. It is. Yeah. It's so funny listening to this, A, at the age I'm at, and then now with like witnesses, because it's happening. And I'm just like, I should hate this. This like should, I should hate this. And I also think I'm trying to like hate things less, period. Cause
yeah,
I feel, I don't know, your 20s is about hating everything. And then
I know.
You realize you're like, it's just not worth it. And some
I have felt a flip in that myself where it's like, I'm 33 too. And it's like, I just, you start to realize like, oh, life is not long enough to spend so much time hating things as a thing of being interesting. And
no,
it's like,
yeah,
it's not interesting to hate things. It kind of sucks. It sucks almost as much as, special sauce being more than one fucking guy. God, yeah, that pisses me off.
When he's singing, it sounds, I like feel like we've never heard him finish a word. Like every single, like he says one word and he's like, oh shit, I gotta say the next word. It's like, so every single word is unfinished, and it's like listening to him spin a bunch of plates, and I'm like, I don't know, I still understand what he's talking about because he named the song a cold beverage, so they're drinks.
Yeah, you know, he's gonna get you back to home. He's gonna get you back on point pretty quickly.
Yeah. Hey, G Love, it's the label. We're just worried people aren't gonna know what the song's about. We're hoping you could name it cold beverage and not the ballad of Sir Drinks a Lot.
That's a sweet, simple song. I could see that going being a party hit and just a fun song to like as a kid. But the video, the video's got like a very like lo-fi, like what do you call it, like black and white kind of Clerksy feel. It's got a cool thing going on, which I did appreciate.
Have you guys watched the Bee Gees documentary?
Yes. We were just talking about this a couple weeks ago. We meant to do an episode about it because it was about the Bee Gees, like in same time.
I heard you say that. I heard you say that.
We just
your
forgot
episode.
To do it. Yes. Yep.
That's fine. Let's do it now.
Let's do it, baby.
Just watching. Because again, I feel like we're the perfect age to like. You just come up and you get into music, and at some point someone tells you that like disco sucks, and you're like, right, of course it does. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And then you're like 29 and you meet some cool DJ and you're just like, wait, it's good? Like actually all of it's good? it's such a crazy thing. I feel like I've had to spend so much time dismantling prejudices about like what's corny.
Yes.
And at a certain point I'm like, is anything corny? Like some things are bad, right? But there's all these things that I thought were lame, like seem to actually be only cool.
Yeah. And well, it's funny, like the going in tandem with that is one of the first episodes we did of this show was about ABBA, and I had that about ABBA where I just assumed ABBA sucked, and then we listened to it and I was like, this is amazing. I love it. It became a band that I listen to all the time now.
It's so good. ABBA's so good. I know. I remember it was like, I'd been listening to a lot of The Best Show on WFMU. And that's like, I mean, Tom Sharpling's the perfect person to both like teach you that something corny is good and then take something that you love and like tell you it sucks until you don't like Tom Waits anymore.
Or
and
BJ
then
Novak for some reason.
Sure. Whatever it is. Yeah. Well, his music is awful, but yeah, he at some point in that show's lineage, he got an ABBA box set and would just like talk to it on air and play a bunch of ABBA songs. And then, ABBA rules. And then I finally watched Mamma Mia, and that movie rules.
Yeah, Mamma Mia is
ABBA
fun.
Songs.
It's very fun. We went to see the second one in theaters.
I heard that was bad.
It was really bad. It was kind of like being at a bad concert where they played some of the same songs from the first movie. It's like you can't, once you burned it, it's over. You don't get to have Dancing Queen again. Like it's done.
Which is so weird though, because it's like, I feel like in 30 years we'll be on a podcast being like, remember when we thought Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again was corny, and it's actually really better. Good.
Yeah. And inspired a whole generation of music. Yeah. That is all indebted to Mamma Mia 2.
Exactly. Because it is like, it's so crazy to watch a movie like Mamma Mia and be like, all right, those are the terms. They've like set these rules and the second movie better follow them. It's like, I feel like the whole thing I loved about watching Mamma Mia was like, oh, right, movies where people just like bust out singing when they like were like stacking groceries a second ago is the funniest thing. And I wish more things didn't take themselves so seriously.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I will say about Mamma Mia too, we kind of had it. We went with like a very, with an older couple, and me and my fiance were both like, that was a pile of dog shit. And we were both like laughing about it. And then the older couple were like, we loved it. Like they could not have loved it more because it was just so basic. And so that was nice. Maybe we were being too cynical, but
totally.
No, ABBA rules though. Bee Gees are also just, Bee Gees are very funny to me. Although now it's like that documentary was pretty sad to me by the end, but
it's really sad.
Yeah. But the music is, I mean, flawed. We watched Saturday Night Fever the same week just to kind of fire ourselves up for it. And that movie is bonkers, by the way. I didn't realize how crazy it is by the end.
It's not okay. The movie's totally not okay. I feel like everyone had the lineage backwards anyways, where they were like, yeah, like Saturday Night Fever and then the Bee Gees. It's like, right. No, that movie should be fucking forgotten about, and I feel like the Bee Gees made the movie work.
It's insane that they just were like, oh, and by the way, here's one of the best albums of all time to be your yes. soundtrack for your little weird coke-fueled movie.
My girlfriend just had to go to the hospital with Saturday Night Fever, and it was actually not the kind of thing to joke about.
That disco hospital is actually it's all night long. They're good.
They
know what they're doing.
They got it. We spoke about bad concerts, which I have to bring something up because I spent an hour of my life today watching the Woodstock 99 special sauce set.
Oh, man. Can we talk? I wanted to have a whole other podcast with a friend where we just talk. We watch the first and last song of everyone's set from Woodstock 99 and talk about it. And I know, Tommy, I know I'm kind of getting you on the hook for a lot of stuff in the future. And I'll pay you for it. I'm good for it.
But my schedule is very open. Don't worry.
Woodstock 99. I've spent time with the Kid Rock entrance, of course, is like one of the best entrances in live music. And the Korn set is actually, I think they're a good band after watching that. They're like, please tell me about it.
Well, I have a clip that I have to play.
Yes, I'm loaded up right now.
So I was looking on YouTube. I wanted to watch some live stuff, and they had the full set. So I was like, I'm going to watch the whole thing. And the intro, I was so shocked. First of all, I thought the intro was the first guy you hear, but he's introducing the person who introduces them, which and both of those intros, it's a little over a minute, but I think it's worth it.
Is it the first minute of the thing?
Yeah, just you can start it 10 seconds in, or you can just play it. Doesn't
okay,
you know?
Perfect.
Yeah.
I'll just play it.
But I was dying laughing at this.
Step up here to talk to you guys. You might have seen the movie Usual Suspects, Threesome. That was a good flick. Threesome. He's going to be in a brand new movie coming up in about a few months. Flintstones, Viva Rock of Vegas. Say hello to Stephen Baldwin. Stephen Baldwin.
I just want to point out really fast. I think he's wearing a belly shirt.
He's wearing, he has his hair like bleached yellow, and he's wearing like a belly shirt. And he's the third Baldwin brother, and he's getting a reaction that is insane.
For Flintstone, that was a big movie. Viva Rock Vegas, the sequel.
But... Yeah.
But his introduction, you have to hear what he says to it. Yeah, it's very good.
What's up, New York? I've seen a lot of naked people. And I think we need to see a whole hell of a lot more. All right, guys. You guys ready? Right on. Hey, you know what? I came up here to introduce a couple of specific bands, and you know, it gets a little crazy and it doesn't always go as like it's supposed to, but now I have the most unbelievably extreme pleasure to introduce the next band because I'm a friggin' huge fan. These guys rock, G-Love, and Special Sauce!
Oh, I love it so much.
We should point out he did. So when he said he needs to see a lot more naked people, he does, in fact, start the party himself. He gets a little taste and he takes off his own shirt.
Mm-hmm. He should be indicted for that. there was like, that was like truly a, A lot of bad things happened at that festival. Yeah.
Was it clear that he forgot their name? Is that what
that's
was
what
happening?
I thought was going on.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like nervous. He forgot their name.
Well, yeah, because also I thought about a few things. I was like, if I was about to go on stage, first of all, an intro to the intro is I'm like, just like, this is supposed to set the tone for my whole thing. I just watched Fred Durst like ride a 2x4 around over everyone's heads. And now I've got to like sing about beverages for a while. And then like, I would have been nervous until I heard that Stephen Baldwin was such a big fan of my music.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I was, it also made me think about how often before he was famous, he probably was introduced as Glove.
Yep. Yeah.
I was almost waiting for it. I was like, this could be really brutal.
Damn. I bet you there's got to be footage somewhere of somebody calling him Glove.
Yeah.
And, there is a thing with their name where his name is Garrett. And so that's where the G comes from, of course. Sure. And then in the Wikipedia, I love when they do this on Wikipedia where they basically call the person a liar, where they were like, he says that G Love just kind of came out of nowhere. But actually, it's like, well, you're a Wikipedia page. Why are you ratting this guy out? But it's that they apparently tried a few different things where they were going to be G Spot for a minute and sure, which really would have sucked. That would have been bad, but I kind of like the name G Love. And I do remember, it's one of those names that stuck with me, where like when people in my hometown would be like, oh, do you like G Love and special sauce, I would be like, I should be saying yes to this so they think I'm cool. Exactly. But I don't have an answer here.
It's true.
In that video, right after that intro, they cut to, of course, some topless women. Then they cut to a guy holding a Confederate flag. And I was that's Woodstock 99. Yep. There it is.
Yep, there it is. He nailed it.
And again, they're a chill. I mean, they're a chill band. Their best
that's what's
music
weird
is
about
pretty
it.
Pretty chill. That must have been an absolute, it must have been a terrible festival to play.
They don't fit the vibe at all.
No.
It's so weird. Yeah, they're very that chilled up. Jack Johnson-y shit. Yeah.
That's a crazy, looking at everyone who played Woodstock 99, which again, that's for our other thing, but it really, there's, it's still a music festival. It's like they kind of had all sorts of different people play, and not everyone was, Alanis Morissette played. And so did Wyclef Jean, apparently. So
that
like,
is so weird.
It's so
what
weird,
a
but yeah, that
array of artists.
Yeah, I mean, it never matches. That's kind of the idea. Yeah. There's the Chili Peppers performance at Woodstock 99 is they had just gotten back together. It's like, I think they had just, like, John Frusciante had just rejoined the band for Californication, and they hadn't toured yet. And knowing that, it's like maybe the worst. It's so bad. It's crazy how bad it is. Again, a band similar, I'm sure Jared will have something to say, but it's
he
like
hates them so much.
Sure.
And I love them. Another one that I love.
I'm conflicted. And again, I grew up loving them, and then you. I mean, it's great. They're the perfect type of band like that, where like you age with the band, and then they're almost like they start putting out records that sort of dare you to quit.
Yeah.
Because they're like, hey, Adam, listen to this. You're 18 now. Maybe you might hate this now. And I'm like, no, I'm on board. And then I'm like, all right, what it's called Stadium Arcadium.
I don't remember anything after that. Did they put anything?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm sure they did, but we quit because we were growing up.
Cause that's college age for us that was like 18, right? 18, 19. I remember Stadium Arcadium came out and I was like all in. I was like, this is so cool. They gave us two albums in one.
It was three. I think it was a triple disc. The audacity.
And it's like so much shit on that thing. And,
they're bad.
Yeah.
The poem
is the worst part.
That was like a turning point for me when he does that poem during one of the songs.
Oh, it's so bad.
And it's just like, oh, wait, they might really suck.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I mean, it's not good. I will fully admit. That is one that I don't do a revisit on.
It's two.
Oh, it's two? Yeah. I remember just being like, this man, they fucking did it again. I'll say this,
on their Wikipedia, there's a digital bonus track, which I didn't know about, of course, which is an hour and 2 minutes long, and it's called Audio Commentary for Stadium Arcadium.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we should listen to that for the Patreon.
That'd be a good Patreon episode. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Please do it.
Unfortunately, we don't have too much more time here, so we're going to have to kind of roll through the... I know, I fucked up.
He's got to be in Atlantic City in an hour.
Exactly. Yeah, these guys are coming to my house. I got to get out of here.
I lost a lot of shit. I put an uncut gym style bet down, and I'm going to die. So the next song we have here is called Stepping Stones, and this is on the next... This is from the album from... You said this is from 97, right?
Yeah, and still, I mean, by the time I got into them, these had all come out. So it's like it all blurred together to me. I didn't care what was what. But this is another one that, like, I remember listening to this and thinking this was a good thing.
All right, let's hear it.
Your name in this whole damn town, and every bar they know you drink. What should I think? I turn around and look, and you gaze through the wink. I'm far fear, and with a woman like you, but you walked on my pride and my manhood too. I don't know too much, but one thing I know, a man stuck on you is like a stepping stone. Cause you keep using me just like a stepping stone. You keep using me just like a stepping stone.
Yeah,
it's also similar, just like what your kid brain does. It's like when you're a kid, you're not able to like recognize pop music that isn't being sold to you as pop music. And then in retrospect, it's like, that's a pop song. It's just like giving you a hook, giving you a thing. Pretty much all of their stuff is pop music in one way or another. It's just like hooky as hell.
Yeah. Yeah. That one felt like it could have just been on the radio. I'm surprised I had never heard that before. The next one, I like this next one a lot. This is I-76. Let's
regional.
Exactly.
Hotline Drive, and like always, I'm kicking it live. Gonna call the fellas to see if they's with this. Gonna get down with the sound of Big Breakfast. Start off the day with some Bob Marley. Back to the woods for that fresh parlay. Maybe even spark a little Nicky J. And then it's off to Santa City in the fastest way. Cause if you gotta get downtown real quick, then the only way to go is I-76. Unless of course you wanna take that scenic view, then the East or West River Drive is right for you. But if you ain't got any time to lose, put the pedal to the metal for that boyish cruise, and get on down to I-76. Cause in 1996 there ain't no tricks in the mix. Back in 1982, man, it was real cool in the school. If we got good grades, like straight up A's, the parents would take us to a 76 game. I got my game and there ain't no shame. Big shots of Mo Cheeks and Moses Malone. Julius Serva called Phileas home. Bobby Jones, Daryl Dawkins, and Tony Sinkin' Freeze. Rocky Balboa will come from South Philly. But if you wanna make it on time to the show, there's only one road that you really have to know. So get to Fishtown without all that job. I suggest that you drive on I-95. Wanna get downtown but feel in the...
Okay, but I love this. I don't know.
Naming basketball players.
That's all it took for me to like that song. As soon as he said Moses Malone, I was like, this is a great song. I'm having a good time.
You stopped it before the like actually redeemable part of that song, probably. Because when you started playing it, I'm like, I get it. Like, everyone's turning it off. Even though it's still, I'm like, I remember liking this, so I like it now. But the like late song chorus goes, get it on 76ers.
That's Charles what I was Barkley, trying to get to.
Larry, but yeah, which is like, it's so funny to just sing that and like transition from a song about the highway to being about the team.
That was what I loved that part of it. I was
listen
to
it.
You guys check it out yourself. This is the problem. This is what I do sometimes. I started it too early. I played a minute and a half of it. And I can't do anymore.
There's but also
like
some
basketball part.
Sure, is a good part. Yeah, basketball is nice because you can bet on it.
Exactly.
And also, as we go song to song, I'm kind of like, it's like, yeah, no one, you're definitely not going to convince someone to like this band by playing more songs because they're so consistent. They're so consistently giving you like what the thing is. And as I like reflect back on all of my mistakes creatively, I was like, I'm so committed to making my thing. I'm like, yeah, I'm creative. I want to make music that's like surprising. Everything's going to be different. Each record will be different and people will learn to like enjoy that. And maybe they have, but how fucking easy would it be to just be like, this is what we sound like. And if you love it, then like, get ready to love all of our music.
Yeah. Yeah. Then, you're going to have a great time. Don't even worry about what album you're listening to.
Exactly. What's this song about? I see a drink. Great. Written. What's the next song about? I see the highway.
I think that leads us perfectly into Rodeo Clowns, which is the next song here.
Yes. This one is, I think the only one I heard on the radio. And again, it's like there's, in terms of hating things and in terms of what you're allowed to hate, it's like super easy to shit on Jack Johnson. I've done so much of it in my day. I kind of remember when his first hit came out and I was like, yeah, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And then this song, I still totally love it. I think this song is super good, even though it is probably atrocious to normal people's ears.
I'll skip a little forward because I think Jack Johnson comes in late. Little bit of a technical difficulty, but I think Jared is fucking with my computer. He's so offended that we've been enjoying this music today, and he's now a tech whiz. But that was Rodeo Clowns, and I fucked up. I missed the part where Jack Johnson is, or where they intro Jack Johnson. They're like,
yeah,
it's kind of like we did the Rap Sidekicks episode a couple weeks ago with Gesser Almonte, and Jay-Z does his like intro. It's like introducing, and then they were doing this for Jack Johnson, which is very silly to me. But that's silly. The Jack Johnson sound.
And he wasn't famous yet. Like, no one knew who he was.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually such, I think that's such a generous thing to do.
Absolutely. To
like have not only have him like feature on your record, but really like do an earnest introduction, be like, hey, I support this person. And in the future, he'll like probably buy me a kayak or something.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be so much more successful than me.
And it kind of did work out because then they put out music on Jack Johnson's label, right?
Exactly. If there's ever a lesson to all of you monsters out there about why you should be nice to people, this is it. It's so you can get something in return later. Be cool.
This is the song Facebook. It says this was written by the surfer singer songwriter Jack Johnson, who sings on a G-Love. At the time, Johnson had yet to release any music and had a small following among surfers, one of whom was a friend of Dutton's who made the introduction. Dutton, who was already an established artist with G-Love and Special Sauce, went surfing in Malibu and with Johnson, who invited him back to his place to jam. This is where Johnson played in Rodeo Clowns. And Dutton asked if he could record the song for his Philadelphonic album, Johnson suggested a collab, and so they did it together. And he introduced, I got my man Jack Johnson in the studio today. The song was released as a single and got decent airplay on the West Coast, earning Johnson some new fans. It must be so weird to be like, yeah, my fans, the surf community.
Exactly.
It's a big group.
Oh, it's so earnest. I really can't. I'm like, so I just want to succeed so bad on like a functional level that I can't even imagine a world where I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I just like write songs for my surfing buddies.
Yeah, I also think music just for golfers.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. We just sing it on the green, but it's not any good. No, you have to record this. You have to record this, Johnny Nine Iron. It's really good. It's gorgeous. I then hearing you say that, I'm like, wow, how many people have asked me to like come back over and jam? And I've been like, oh, no fucking way. I got to get out of here. It's like one of those people could have been Jack Johnson, and I could be sitting pretty rather than talking to you guys right now.
Well, every musician's nightmare.
You know what? Yeah, yeah. Rather than the hell I'm living in. No, I take it back. I'm never jamming again.
Yeah, never jam again. You're in heaven. Come on.
Good. This is
come
good.
On. You're having fun.
I am having fun.
We have so you sent us an extra song here, which is off of the, was it 2020 or 2021 that he put this out?
This is where my knowledge thankfully ends.
He was nominated for a Grammy for this album, by the way, which I was shocked to see.
I was also shocked by that. So it's Juice, I believe, is the album. Is that correct? I think that's right. But yeah, he was nominated. I do not believe he took home the prize, but fair enough that he got nominated this much.
It was album of the year.
It was the category of white nonsense blues, which is crazy. It's crazy there were so many people in that category that year, but yeah, it was him, it was Springsteen, it was who else. The thing is though, and Jared, if you're listening, and I know you are, mm-hmm. it's this album, which is probably bad, but it's produced by blues great Keb Mo, so that's a stamp of approval that
there you go,
that, Jared. I don't think you have it.
You gotta get you gotta get Keb Mo to start producing your voicemails. all right, let's go ahead here. It's Go Crazy. I gotta tell you, I enjoyed that.
It's not bad.
The longevity is impressive.
Yeah, it is funny how as soon as we play a song, and even though it's a song I told you to play, as soon as we play a song that I've like no childhood connection to, I like tune out immediately.
Yeah.
And it should be, yeah, that's no special sauce. I think that's a G Love solo record, which is how he can get away with the like Funkadelic harmony thing in the beginning and all the, you know, he's allowed to try other things, but he should go, you know, he has to go back to being a rapping blues monkey as soon as the singing starts so we can get our fix.
Yeah, we need our fix. We got to get that fix. Yeah,
he also, that was interesting. He's 48, so he's actually in this, he's in this unfortunate, like, middle period where it's like, as soon as he's 75, he's back in business. Cause that's like blues age. That's going to be the perfect age point. With like his, the way he sings already with like a crazy old man voice, it'll be unbelievable.
Yeah. There's a group of guys like him. I feel like Citizen Cope will be like that too, where when the second he's like 70, we're going to be like, damn, this is incredible. I was getting that out of him. I forgot that. Citizen Cope, Jack Johnson. And there was somebody else that I was like, this is all feeling like the same sort of thing to me, which I kind of enjoy, but I never heard it before.
It depends who. I grew up with a buddy who loved Citizen Cope, and I never listened to him, and so he did nothing for me, because again, if you like, who knows why. And it's also, I mean, where I grew up, it was also like Dispatch was a very
huge for me,
important band, which I like. I did, like, I definitely aged out of that in the right way, where it's like, again, you like real, you're like, oh, right, I like Wilco now. Like, I actually can't listen to this. But I think if I listened to it like now, I would cry. Like, I think I do. I think I do still love it. There's like parts of it, but that's a little more, that's like part of this other subset where it's like acoustic. It's like a little more acoustic.
Fair enough. So we've reached the end of the playlist. We do have one more segment to get to, and that is, well, yeah, we have to hear from the Peanut Gallery, of course. In addition to Jared chiming in, we also let listeners of the show and just people who are friends with me on Facebook chime in. But first, we go to people from the Patreon. So let me load up the old Patreon. We didn't post this one on Twitter, did we, Tommy? That's all right. Let me see what people on the Patreon had to say about this. And by the way, you can get on the Patreon for $3 a damn month, $270 if you do the whole year, $270 a month for bonus episodes every friggin' week. And we're trying to get to 200 by the time we get to our 200th episode, which is like a month from now.
So yeah,
get
over there. April 15th, coming, I think. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So we only got a couple comments on this one on the Patreon. And it's Dan Clark says, here we go. The guy is still rocking. The Juice is a great album. That's what we just heard.
Hey. It's
true. James Buntrock says, I remember them from the 90s, but was never into them. I think the only reason I ever heard of them was that they were a video on Beavis and Butthead. All right. Mm. Well, there you go. From Facebook, we got a lot more here. Let me pull that up. And Mary Houlihan says they are just okay, and she
Mary
okay and with a winky face.
Classic Mary speaker.
Yeah. Wow, that's total BS. Just because they're not ELO doesn't mean
ELO does rule.
Of course, they're much better than G Lemon.
Brandon Ream says you talking hoops, you talking basketball, which I don't get. What does that mean? You guys understand that? Is that something that they do?
Must be one of the lyrics. I don't know which one.
See.
Is it? Now I feel
I don't even know that it is. Joe Bates says, my brother once saw him in Austin, then flew and saw him in Delaware, where G-Love saw him and gave him a look that was more or less, I need to get security. he says his self-titled album is full of hits and his song Beautiful with Tristan Prettyman is fantastic. One of those incredibly underrated bands with a frontman who could care less. I also saw him in New Orleans come out on stage 17 years ago and just pass a joint to the crowd saying he needed to play and didn't have time to finish it. Damn.
That's a cool dude.
That is pretty sick. I hear stuff like that and I hate that my first thought is like, that could never happen now. That's like impossible. Alex Bryce says, when he's saying I like cold beverages, I really felt that.
See?
Anthony Michael Colombo says one of the most underrated groups of the past 25 years. Connor McGrath says I saw them co-headlining with Blackalicious in 2005. They were all right, but Blackalicious was definitely better. Brandon Kirkman says, when I was in art school, a classmate would want to put them on during figure drawings all the time. So now they're tired. They're tied to images of naked old men standing in place for an hour in my mind. Well, now they're that for me as well.
I'm starting to like this band.
Can we listen again?
It's a wank-a-thon now. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. And we're at hour one of the first annual 20.
Johnny Sparkle says there's a pretty cool video on YouTube where Jeff Buckley has a chance encounter with G Love. Then he says G Love was
what
one
does
of
those... that mean?
Yeah, a chance encounter.
How do you have a video of a chance encounter?
That is bullshit. That was framed. That was set up. He also says,
I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but Jeff Buckley's hidden camera show did not get off the ground.
He pranks
Buckley
the prank.
Pranks. Whoa. Exactly. He looks into the camera, he says, "Hallelujah." That's how they know.
Oh, check this out. I'm in the middle of a chance encounter with
Are we getting this? Are you rolling?
He also says G-Love was one of the first guys to have Ben Harper and Jack Johnson on his songs. You can do a marathon Stand By Your Band episode based on that trifecta alone. That's true.
That guy stole my kisses, Ben Harper. I need those true. Back.
Yeah. The Me Too movement's getting everybody. John
That's Holmes. Part, yeah, when you get canceled, you have to give the kisses back. Yep. They don't tell you that, but that's actually one of the hardest parts about being canceled is then you have to track down everyone you stole a kiss from, and you got to return it with interest.
What's weird is by giving it back, you're just kissing them also.
That's the thing. That's how you get into even more trouble. It's a mess. They didn't think it through. It's just like the vaccine rollout. It's all a mess.
Oh, no.
Last one here. John Holmes says, saw him when I was in high school around 2002 in Cincy. He was playing a real emotional song by himself, but there was a girl in the front row on her cell phone. She was talking loudly and clearly didn't want to be there. Halfway through the song, G-Love stood up and started screaming at her to shut the fuck up.
Oh, the crowd
cheered and she ran out crying. He sat back down and finished the song.
That is actually, that doesn't make him look great either.
No, but like, that's such a weird, when you're like, your thing is being like the chillest guy or whatever, like yeah. It's all emotional and love, and then you have to yell at somebody to shut the fuck up and get out.
Yeah.
It's,
yells
it's
at the bartender. His beverage is too hot. He screams at the bartender, sends it back.
Well, I heard that Buckley set that whole thing up. It was part of the show.
Exactly.
But then he tragically died as the prank was unfolding.
So they never
knew. Yeah. I'm going to keep every joke in my head right now. Okay, so there is a song on the album. This is perfect. This is full circle because this is on the album that I claim to like love and that raised me as a kid. But it makes sense because it's towards the end of the album. So what am I going to do? Keep listening after Cold Beverage, the last song I knew? And it's a song called Shootin' Hoops, which is all about basketball. So I think it's a reference to that. And
I
it's
see.
Pretty funny.
I think I know the song. It's just I didn't know that it was a G-Love song because I recognized him playing basketball. Is that him?
Not that one.
No, okay.
Think,
that makes more sense.
It's another basketball song.
You think we would have covered that on our basketball songs episode.
Yeah. We played, Man played a festival one time with that G-Love was on. It was at like the Founders Brewery in
The Founders Brewery. Yeah, yeah, Grand Rapids. I was just
it's good.
There during this somehow.
Yeah, headlining, and there was a it was a funny thing because it was also like Ryan, the singer from Man was kind of like, he's like, actually I like really like G-Love, and it's like, oh great, me too. And we went and watched, which is also, yeah, Ryan aka Honus, he's another like rich lineage of Philadelphia singers where you like don't know what the fuck they're saying when they're singing. And that's a great, I think it's a beautiful through line. I think the lamest thing I ever have seen in my entire life was G-Love played slide guitar. He was like playing guitar and then he started playing slide guitar using his wireless microphone as the slide. And it's like, but the wire, like as a device, the wireless microphone is such like a display of privilege. It's just like the least blues thing ever. It's like it's such a weird call. Really, I'm like, funny. No, use the beer bottle for the slide. They're like, your weird like battery powered Shure mic is like really.
He's using an Apple Watch as a pick.
Exactly. Oh, that's so funny.
All right, we are to the final part of the show where you get to give your final thoughts on G Love and Special Sauce before we rate the playlist. What do you got for us, Adam?
I listen. First of all, just thank you for having me. This has been a real joy to talk to anyone else.
And, same.
If any of your listeners want to talk, I'm super. I'm super available. I loved the opportunity to like re-listen to this music and see if I liked it still. And I totally, it's only nostalgic, but I think it's good. What do you want me to say?
I think that is that is fair enough. I had a plenty pleasant time listening to this today. It was, having some shoulder pain from my vaccine still. And this was the chillest thing to get me through it. And I had a good time with it. You know, it's tough with something like this where I didn't listen to it growing up, so I have no nostalgic love for it like that. And there are some songs that I could I could do away with myself. But I would be lying if I said I didn't find it very pleasant. So I'm going to go with a solid 4 out of 6 for this one, because I'm just not a big Jack Johnson man. So here in Rodeo Clowns, it's not totally for me, but I do think it's cool that he did that. And I think it was a smart investment, which is why any young podcaster who wants to come on here,
exactly,
we will showcase. But so we can maybe get the next Joe Rogan. And
exactly.
But yeah, I think 4 out of 6, because I did enjoy it. It was just fine by me, and maybe I'll blaze up and listen to this again. Tommy, what do you got?
So this is one of those bands that I never listened to. I always saw them on festival posters, and it was one of those bands that I kind of hated based on the name, having no idea what they were. So it was interesting to listen to them. I did not hate it. I put it. I feel like a 3 out of 6 to me was how I felt, but I did like some of the songs, and I enjoyed. I enjoyed watching Stephen Baldwin like them, and
yeah, him taking his shirt off got the extra point.
That was that was a really nice moment hearing Stephen Baldwin do that. I don't know if you guys heard about the recent, super recent G Love show where he came out on stage and he passed the vaccine to someone in the front row.
I can't finish.
He said, I can't finish this. I got to play and I don't have time to take it. And he gave away his vaccine to a lucky fan. I thought that was so cool.
That is so very cool. That is super cool. Adam, you also get to rate this playlist out of 6. What do you got for G Love?
Oh, I mean, 6 out of 6. What's not to like? You got a song about the blues. You got another song where he has the blues.
Yeah,
I think it'd be foolish of me to go any lower than 6 out of 6.
I fully agree. And this has been so fun, man. And Landlady has an album coming out in March, and
it's Friday, because we're putting tomorrow. Yeah. So it'll be this Friday.
So it'll be 2 days after today. This comes out.
That's great. Yeah. If you want to kind of celebrate it with me, you can just like sit at home with anxiety. And we can all sort of do the thing together. Putting out music. Yeah. When you can't play a show is really, it's really cool. And I love it. But this is, it's a good excuse for me to invite myself into doing things like this, which when I released my last record, I was like, well, I'd love to do podcasts, but I have to like go to Los Angeles to do it.
Yes.
And now I don't, I mean, apparently you're in New York, so I,
you could have just come in.
You weren't doing this. Everything was different. This is I am actually so grateful that I get to just fuck around with fun people and pretend that that is promoting the thing, even though this was exclusively promoting G Love and Special Sauce. Except if people come away with this and they're like, I actually hated that. I'd listen to anything but G Love and Special Sauce. Yeah. My record fits into that category perfectly.
I listened to the singles that are on Spotify today. I know that musicians love when you listen to them on Spotify. So,
Here's the thing. Yeah, yeah. You just got to let it run. It's like we do get paid. It's amazing to get paid for any of it. It's like you didn't get paid when you listened to a song on iTunes before. You had to
get
someone to buy it. And it's like, I was just talking to a buddy today about how it was actually nice when iTunes sort of like saw itself out from like being any sort of store, because now fans can like, for a while people were like, can I buy this on iTunes? And now you'd never, you know, you'd hear your grandpa say that, but that's it.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want to buy, if you want to live in like the micro economy, we prefer go to Bandcamp and give us your money. But we also know, we know you don't have to, and it's free everywhere else. So just, you have to like listen to the song 1,000 times on Spotify, and then I get to go buy a butterscotch with the money. So
yeah, baby, put it on repeat. It is funny to think that is an old man. I want to listen on my iPod. No, grandpa.
Exactly. It has a wheel. I spin the wheel.
I can touch it. I can see my favorite music videos on this tiny screen.
When they put videos on it, that was unbelievable.
So absurd. So the screen was so tiny. I was so hyped, and I was downloading illegal, like I downloaded movies onto that little screen. It was like, now this is the height of luxury. Watching a film on it, what is it, the equivalent of a quarter. Very good. But so thanks so much for coming on, man. And thank you. Everybody check out Landlady wherever you want to listen to music. Just check it out and spread the word, baby. It's good.
I appreciate it.
And I had a great time listening to it this week too. It's been really fun. I'm excited for the album, my man. And you guys can get on our Patreon, man. $3 a month. Do it by our 200th episode. Here's the thing. If you tell a friend about it and you can convince them to get on it, we'll give you a special little 30-second showering of affection on the Patreon. Ooh,
good idea.
Yeah, so do that, and we'll see you guys next week. Keep it crispy. Bye.